Crossover Thursday here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills Podcast is here, and we talk injury updates from your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as your favorite Bucs getting bestowed with some honors. All that on this episode of the Locked On Bucs Podcast. Let's get it.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Bucs Podcast, brought to you by Stat Hero, a first-of-its-kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchups. Winner take all. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match. I am your host for today's episode, David Harrison, on Twitter at dharrison82. My co-host, James Yarko, at jyarko_bucs, is off for today's episode. The show is at Locked On Bucs. Both of us are writers for BucsNation.com, a part of SB Nation on Twitter at Bucs_Nation. Crossover Thursday here at the Locked On Podcast Network. David Harrison for the Locked On Bucs Podcast on Twitter at dharrison82. And I'm joined now by Joe Marino at the Joe Marino on Twitter. If you're not already giving him a follow, make sure you definitely do. He hosts the Locked On Bills Podcast, but he also co-hosts the Draft Dudes Podcast with Kyle Krabs over there, Locked On Dolphins host as well. And then the Senior Draft Analyst at the Draft Network, giving you your draft information all year long. Joe, appreciate you joining me, man. You're not coming that long or that far off of the latest Buffalo Bills game. We got to love those Monday night primetime turnarounds, man. They cram everything together. So let me ask you this first and foremost, because outside Buffalo Bills fans, obviously this is going to be like the biggest thing that caught their eye following the Monday night game from what was not on the field. And that, of course, is the interaction between Jordan Poyer, I can't talk right now for some reason, and Micah Hyde with the media. I feel like these things tend to get overblown, right? The players are coming off the field, an emotional loss, of course, and it's the defense that I think it was Micah that actually pointed out just gave up 14 points, but still they lost, and they're being asked about being embarrassed on primetime television and everything else. What was your takeaway as someone who does this every single day for those of us who don't see these Bills players and the way they interact with the media?
Yeah, I think it was a situation where you had a question that was asked to trigger and provoke some type of reaction. And on one hand, I wish that Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde maybe would have answered it just like Sean McDermott said. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, anytime our team loses, I'm embarrassed, right? You just say that and you move on. And it's probably a situation where we're not leading off our conversation about Bucs and Bills by a question coming out of a game against the Patriots that really has no implications on the game this Sunday. And so I understand why you would ask it, but I think it's a situation where the guy who asked the question has a long history of asking provoking type questions, and you're dealing with a team that is frustrated, right? The season has been inconsistent. Expectations were high for the Bills. They're a very capable football team, but at the end of the day, they've proven they're inconsistent. And so when you poke at a time like that, with the history that you do asking those types of questions, you know, I think you get what you saw.
Absolutely. And you're right. And the game really doesn't have a whole lot of bearing on this one, other than kind of the cumulative factor and the transference of negativity or frustrations. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills are 7-5, and there are a lot of franchises out there and a lot of teams that would love to be 7-5 at this point in the year. I'd like to point out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020 were 7-5 before they went on their run. So, I mean, definitely not in a situation where they're out of contention or anything like that. But I think this team had so many expectations coming into the season. I know I picked them as the Super Bowl representative for the AFC myself. I think that kind of feeds into some of that frustration. Kind of going back to those similarities, right? We like to do that in this business, kind of look at past, you know, history as a trend for what could come. Again, the Buccaneers were 7-5 at one point in 2020, ripped off all those consecutive wins to win the Super Bowl. What I remember about that Buccaneers squad is it was a team that had some losses that they were frustrated about, even embarrassed about, if you want to go that far. The defense was looking better. The offense was kind of trying to get into more of the running game was by and large struggling at that point. But you felt like the team was frustrated to the point that they were coming together inside the building to push forward on their mission versus frustrated to where it's going to start causing mistakes. Which version of frustrated do you think this Bills team is right now?
Well, I think that's a really good way to phrase it, David. And certainly the hope is that it's all used for good. And I think the overarching thing that I've gathered from listening to, you know, all of the press conferences from coaches and players all season long is that they don't lack in confidence, right? That's something that I don't think has wavered at all. And they should be frustrated, right? Like you went out, you won 13 games last year. You were a really hungry football team that brought a lot to the table, and you bring a lot of those same things to the table again this year. You're just not getting the results. And I think that stems from embracing that type of role where you're not catching anyone by surprise. They know you're a good football team. They know that you're perceived as the class of the conference, at least entering the season. And, you know, other teams are hungry and they want to knock you down. And I don't think that the team has done well to handle the ebbs and flows and things that haven't gone their way this season, but they don't lack confidence. And I think that the next five games will obviously tell us what we need to know about the Buffalo Bills. They haven't lost consecutive games yet this season. And certainly that's a tough proposition coming off of a loss to the Patriots and a road game with the defending Super Bowl champions. Oh, by the way, their quarterback's Tom Brady. And we know all about Mr. Brady and what he brings to the table. And so we'll find out what they're made of. And I think it's an appropriate perspective from a fan's mentality to kind of loosen your expectations and say, all right, do it or don't, right? Prove to us what you are. There's no reason to defend you. You've proven you're inconsistent. You haven't won consecutive games since mid-October. And at the same time, everything you want to achieve is still right in front of you. And when you look at this AFC conference, every team has a fatal flaw, right? Yep. I mean, so get to the tournament, see what can happen, and you're capable of beating anyone in the National Football League. You just have to find some consistency.
More from my conversation with Joe Marino, the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, coming up. No one covers the Bills like he does, and no one plays daily fantasy sports to lose. Winning feels so much better, but traditional fantasy sports are a long-term losing proposition because you never know who or what you're up against. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchups, winner take all. And here's the crazy part. Stat Hero shows you their lineups before you play, and you handpick the team you want to face one-on-one. This never-before-seen innovation of a fantasy sports and sports betting hybrid has Stat Hero players clocking odds that are over four times better. Why? Because you don't have to compete against thousands of experts or unknowns. Stat Hero puts you in control of your fate. With Stat Hero, you're in control of the stakes. You decide how much you're going to play for, and Stat Hero has no choice but to take it because they're daring you to beat them. Stat Hero head-to-head is what daily fantasy should be, one-on-one. Sign up right now for free at stathero.com/lockedon. Use a promo code locked on for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Promo code locked on for a 100% deposit match. Terms and conditions apply. Segment two of the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison on Twitter at dharrison82. My co-host James Yarko at jyarko_bucks. Show at Locked On Bucks. Continue our conversation now with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can say that about the entire National Football League this year. Everybody has a flaw that can be exposed, that can be used to defeat them. And you look at the New England Patriots, what they were able to do against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, they didn't win that game, but they came very close to defeating the defending Super Bowl champions, like you said. And they did it the way that a lot of teams have since tried to beat the Buccaneers. Some have had success. The Washington football team used it and then used their ground game to kind of dominate there at the end of that game. That the Buccaneers lost, but that is keeping a high shell, making sure that you don't let guys like Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, when he's on the field, which we don't expect him to be, obviously, Chris Godwin, stuff like that. Keep them close, keep them in the intermediate part of the passing game, and then collapse down to the ball, keep them from turning those into big gains. However, you have this question about the Buffalo Bills rush defense. You have Leonard Fournette. That's one of the better running back stories, I think, this season, but coming out of the bye, the last four games has been one of the better running backs in the National Football League, both from a rushing and a receiving perspective. And that offensive line in Tampa Bay is just looking forward to trying to dominate the trenches. Do you have any concerns, or do you feel like this Buffalo Bills defense can kind of copy what people have done and had some success in limiting the Buccaneers scoring potential by playing that high shell cover defense and then also being able to contain the run at least up front?
Stylistically, I really like what the Bills bring to the table in this matchup, particularly defense versus offense. You know, a lot's going to be made of the Bills rushing defense and, you know, how they fared against New England and Tennessee and Indianapolis. And, you know, for the most part, their rush defense has actually been pretty good this season. It just feels like in those games, they really got worked. And in all of those games, they were victimized by at least one extremely long run. I mean, a 64-yard rush to Damian Harris. They ran the ball 45 times. If you can't really do this because the play happened, but outside of that play, they gave up 3.5 yards per carry, you know? And so I think some of it's overstated. The Bills defense is designed to limit big plays year over year under Sean McDermott. They have the lowest average depth of target against their defense, and that's for a reason. It's set up to take away shots down the field and stay leveraged and force you to make difficult throws outside the numbers. They funnel where you're going to go with your progressions based on how they space the defense. And I kind of like how that sets up against the Patriots and how they, or excuse me, the Buccaneers and how they want to attack you. And so the interesting thing is going to be, will Tampa Bay really try to run the football more than they typically do, which to me would be a massive miscalculation because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers necessarily, they haven't really been a good rush offense. They weren't a good rush offense last year. They're not a good rush offense this year. And so I think you got to stay true to your strengths if you're Tampa Bay and, you know, try to take advantage of a secondary that doesn't have Tre'Davious White anymore, right? He's out for the season with an ACL tear. The first game without him was the Patriots game. They threw it three times, right? We don't have any idea what this pass defense looks like without Tre'Davious White. So if I am New England, I'm fully aware of some of the chinks in the armor when it comes to the run defense. I'm fully aware of how the Bills play defense, but I'm also fully aware that I have Mike Evans and I have Chris Godwin and I have Tom Brady, and I'm going to challenge this team for the first time without Tre'Davious White on the field.
Yeah, and obviously that is a huge loss. And like you said, I mean, just given the context of how that game went down between Buffalo and New England, not really able to gauge what that's going to look like, but you know that Tom Brady and that Buccaneers offense definitely probably has a plan to try to attack the weaknesses in that secondary. And that's something the Bucs fans haven't seen a whole lot of since the bye week, is a lot of pushing down the field, challenging defenses when they do throw double coverage out there or however they do it. They're basically it's classic Tom Brady football. Take what the defense gives you and then put the ball in the end zone, in the red zone. And then on the defensive side of the ball, be opportunistic and get the takeaways. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have forced 10 fumbles in the last 4 weeks, which I think is, I don't know if that's a record or a record pace, but I think it's an amazing number, period. And they've recovered six of those 10 fumbles. There are teams in the NFL, there are more than a dozen teams in the NFL who don't even have six fumble recoveries all season. So this Buccaneers defense certainly being opportunistic, even as they deal with some of these injuries. From the Buffalo Bills offensive standpoint, how do you expect Josh Allen offense to attack the Buccaneers defense? Then you saw a fumble from Matt Breida against the New England Patriots. Lavonte David is like a forced fumble artist sometimes. How do you expect them to hold up against a team that is looking to take the ball away? Not just waiting for opportunities, they're looking to create the chance to take that ball away.
Well, I think this is certainly a game where you abandon the run. This is about throwing the football. This is about leaning on Josh Allen and your wide receivers and kind of finding that identity that you had last year of being able to spread defenses out and throw the football all over the yard. And the Buccaneers are unbelievable against the run. I mean, it's such good players in that front seven, downhill players, Vita Vea in the middle, Ndamukong Suh. I mean, you're not running the ball on these guys. And so why on earth would you take a bad rushing offense and try to make it a priority or a point of emphasis against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive front? That would be a terrible idea. And so you're on the road. You have a situation where it's, you know, it's Florida, right? It's not, we're not playing in the Northeast. It should be reasonable conditions to throw the football. Yeah. And I think you have to tap into what you have at receiver and Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders and the emergence of Dawson Knox and Gabriel Davis, a UCF guy. I'm sure he'll be excited about getting back down there and playing some ball. Yeah. So this is going to be a pass heavy attack for the Buffalo Bills and, you know, try to spark some confidence in an offense that has been inconsistent, mostly because of self-inflicted wounds, and go out and avoid batting your head against a really stout Tampa Bay Bucs defensive front seven.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. That's what I expect is a lot of the football flying through the air, and Stephon Diggs terrifies me in this matchup. And we'll talk about that obviously when we switch roles here, but final question for me, Joe, for you, for this weekend's matchup, which, if there's one single matchup in this game, with the game within the game, that the Buffalo Bills have to win in order to upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3.5-point favorites, so not a huge upset, but an upset nonetheless, which matchup does this team have to absolutely win in this game?
I'll give you a very broad answer, despite you asking for something specific, if I can
hear. Absolutely, yeah.
So one of the things that I think the Bills present is a wide range of pass catchers, right? They have a lot of different guys that are fully capable of catching the football and producing in the passing game, and obviously a top quarterback in Josh Allen. And The Tampa Bay Bucs are getting more healthy on defense, but they're still, you know, kind of working their way back into the lineup, a lot of these defensive backs. And I am going to tap into my depth in terms of offensive weapons. And, you know, if Tampa wants to focus in on taking away Diggs, okay, there's still four or five other guys that they can throw the football to. And so this is a game, I think, where you try to spread that defense out and tap into this deep pool of, you know, a lot of veteran type receivers and Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, young players and Knox and Gabriel Davis, and use that as your strength. This is a game where the Bills have to come out and really prioritize using the full breadth of their offensive weapons in the passing game. And to me, that matchup, that matchup of the Bills passing offense and the depth of it against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that in terms of a coverage perspective is still working back in a lot of their key pieces.
Absolutely. Joe Marino dropping all the knowledge here about the Buffalo Bills as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get set to host Josh Allen and those Bills this weekend, week 14, potential NFC South clinching scenario for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they got to beat the Bills first. Can make the playoffs with a tie, but nobody wants a tie, Joe. So again, if you're not following Joe, it's at the Joe Marino on Twitter, senior draft analyst at the Draft Network, co-host of the Draft Dudes podcast and host of the Locked On Bills podcast.
The story with the Buccaneers, obviously coming off of a Super Bowl championship, is that they quote unquote ran it back, right? A lot of those pieces, I think literally everything, right? Everything, they returned it. And while they still brought back the same players, you can't always bank on everything being true year over year. You don't bring everything with you in terms of the dynamics of your team. It's a different team despite a lot of the same players. And so, David, I want to start by asking you about what's different. What are the biggest differences that you've seen from this team in 2021 compared to the Super Bowl championship team from 2020?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, just on the field, what you're looking at is you're going to look at Leonard Fournette being the primary back. We're not talking about a shared backfield here. Leonard Fournette is the guy, whereas last year you had Ronald Jones would lead the game in touches here and there, and then you'd have Leonard Fournette sprinkled in there. At one point, Leonard Fournette is a healthy scratch, and that really kind of is a crossroads that we come to a Leonard Fournette story with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He really had to make a decision. Was he going to be this kind of newfound, more mature, more team-focused running back, or was he going to kind of fall back into some of the other pitfalls he had back in his days in Jacksonville? And, you know, everybody's younger, everybody makes mistakes, and the mentality needs to change a little bit. He decided, had some mentoring from some teammates, obviously, but he decided that he was going to be a team guy. He was going to be a Buccaneer first and Leonard Fournette second. And that obviously played out well for him. Ronald Jones ends up in COVID protocol, and then with an injury during the postseason run, playoff Lenny is born, Lombardi Lenny is born. And then ever since then, we've seen this other adaptations of Fournette. And then we got Lucas Oil, Lenny, and just all kinds of Leonard Fournette love. And he's deserved it. He's hardworking. He's earning it. So that's first and foremost on the field. And then you have the injuries on the back end of the secondary. But I think really what you have within the Buccaneers organization is while you bring in all of the key players and all the, you know, beyond the starters, most of the backup singers, as I call them, also coming back, because of the situations the Buccaneers have gone through and even the losses to the New Orleans Saints and the Washington football team, two teams that on paper they should beat every single week, really without a whole lot of effort, you have the resilience building within a team. I think they need kind of that adversity. And you also kind of see the strength of the coaching staff, because coming out of that with some wins, defeating the Indianapolis Colts, which might surprise some. I mean, some of it's due to scheduling, right? They haven't faced a whole lot of teams with winning records when they play, but the Colts were the first team that the Buccaneers beat this season that had a winning record coming into that matchup. So the Bills would be the second if they can pull off that victory. That's what some fans and some media members are a little concerned, but inside the building, they know because they've been through it. They've played with their number fourth or fifth cornerback as their starting defender going up against very good NFL talent. So I think that's the biggest thing you see, is that this team not only has the creativity that we already knew about, but they've had to go out there and show it a little bit earlier than they did in 2020, and they're starting to have success with it. So even if it's Dee Delaney out there going up against a guy like Cole Beasley, they feel confident they can do what it takes to win the game. At the beginning of the season, the Bills versus Buccaneers was my Super Bowl 56 prediction, and Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium is less than 100 days away. On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/sb56 For more information or search Super Bowl on location, that's onlocationexp.com/SB56 or search Super Bowl on location. This episode of Locked On Bucks podcast also brought to you by betonline.ag, who has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march towards the playoffs. BetOnline.ag remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season. Head over to the website, mobile or desktop. Sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. Whether you're looking for basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, or your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Doug McThree here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison on Twitter at DHarrison82. My co-host James Yarko at JYarko_Bucks. The show at Locked On Bucks. BucksNation.com is where we write about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You find that on Twitter at Bucks_Nation. Wrapping up my conversation with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast.
David, this is the question that I look forward to asking you the most today. And it stems from the success of the Buccaneers passing offense. And if I'm not mistaken, the number one passing offense in the NFL, and how they've been able to continue that production with the absence of a running game, because that's been such a big story in the AFC when it comes to the Bills and the Chiefs. And, you know, there's still high powered passing offenses, but there's this growing belief that both teams need to find the ability to run the football because teams are just flooding the coverage lanes and making it difficult for really good quarterbacks and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen to slot throws. And so how has Tampa Bay overcome, you know, really a really similar situation where they don't run the football well? They don't, just like the Chiefs and Bills, but the passing production is still there, and we're not getting the same vibes out of Tampa Bay that, oh my gosh, they better find a run game or else this passing game can't carry them. What's keeping that afloat?
Yeah, I think it's because they're doing the old, you know, the old cliche of the short pass as an extension of the running game. And by and large, that's what you're seeing out of Tampa Bay is Leonard Fournette's getting a lot of receptions. He's getting a good amount of touches here lately, especially the last 4 weeks. They're not necessarily all coming in the running game, and the running game itself, especially with Leonard Fournette running the ball, it's doing enough to keep teams honest, to keep them respecting the run and to allow Tom Brady to drop back there and have times. The offensive line, honestly, has been doing an absolutely wonderful job of keeping Tom Brady afloat. I think they're tied for second in the NFL and fewest sacks allowed by any team. Some of that is that short passing game, the intermediate passing game, the willingness of the offense to, you know, if your defense is going to take away the deep ball, that's fine. We'll kill you with a million paper cuts and all that. Go to Rob Gronkowski, use Cam Bray. OJ Howard has basically been a non-factor, but the tight ends have been involved overall. And then Giovanni Bernard is still kind of getting sprinkled in there again. It's pretty much Leonard Fournette's show. But I think that's really what you look at is the Buccaneers using that screen game, even with their wide receivers, even though, you know, the pick six last week happened. That's unfortunate, but it's not going to go away anytime soon. And then Leonard Fournette, not necessarily running the ball, but catching it 2 or 3 yards away from Tom Brady and then turning that into yards. Some news, notes, and injury reports, guys, before we get out of here. Earlier this week, your quarterback, Tom Brady, named the 2021 Sports Person of the Year at the Sports Illustrated Awards. Tom Brady accepting the award from teammate Rob Gronkowski, dropping an acceptance speech with some appreciation, some reverence for the game, and of course, a little bit of humor. The award presented by FTX. And then Mike Evans, wide receiver, nominated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the third straight year as their candidate for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, considered the most prestigious award of all of them that the NFL gives out. Evans said via a press release, quote, "It's an honor to be recognized with the very best in the league for the impact that we make in our communities. I'm blessed to play football for a living, but the true value of our work comes in how we uplift those in need of support. To be nominated 3 years in a row, it's extremely humbling," end quote. Of course, the Mike Evans Foundation, founded by Evans and his wife Ashley, supports students and families in need, among other things. And the wide receiver, of course, has helped the Tampa community tremendously, but has always remembered his roots back in Galveston, Texas, helping out back home whenever he can. Becoming a three-time candidate 3 years in a row, he joined safety John Lynch, Hall of Fame safety John Lynch, as well as the late Vincent Jackson, as most recent Buccaneers to be nominated 3 years in a row. If he's nominated one more year next year, Evans will join Vincent Jackson, being nominated 4 years in a row from 2013 to 2016. If he wins, he will be only the second Buccaneer to win the award, following in the footsteps of Hall of Fame linebacker Derek Brooks, who won in the year 2000. for being nominated. Evans has received a $40,000 donation in his name to the charity of his choice. He will wear a decal on his helmet identifying him as a Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award nominee for the rest of the season. If you want to help Mike Evans win, just tweet using the hashtag WPMOY, Walter Payton Man of the Year Challenge. WPMOY Challenge, all one word, and then type Evans after the hashtag. It's not all one. It's not WPMOY Challenge Evans. It's hashtag WPMOY Challenge space Evans, or you can use Evans at and tag him on the same hashtag. Either way, they count as a tweet. So if you're like me, everything you tweet from the Locked On Bucks account will have that hashtag at the end of it from now until voting ends. The NFL player that gets the most votes will be awarded the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award and will receive a $250,000 donation in his name to go towards the charity of his choice. So congratulations to Tom for his award. Congratulations to Mike for his well-deserved nominee. Moving out and closing today's episode with injury updates from Wednesday's practice. Not participating, Jamel Dean in concussion protocol, William Golson with the wrist and knee injuries, and Ryan Jensen with the ankle injury. Also, safety Jordan Whitehead still not practicing with that calf injury that forced him to miss the Atlanta Falcons game. Limited participants in practice guard Ali Marpet and defensive lineman Vita Vea. Jalen Darden still in concussion protocol, was a full participant, and Jason Pierre-Paul with the shoulder injury, also a full participant. For the Buffalo Bills, Cole Beasley did not participate on Wednesday, but it was just a vet rest day. Fullback Reggie Gillum, defensive tackle Star Latulule, defensive end F.A. Obada, and tight end Tommy Sweeney all limited in practice for Buffalo on Wednesday. Thank you for making the Locked On Bucks your first listen or your first watch of the day. If you're joining us over on YouTube, no matter what platform you're on, please subscribe, click the follow button, click the alert button, and you'll know when we drop a new episode. Now that you're done with this one, make your second listen to Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. James and I will be back on Friday to wrap up our week's preview of the Buffalo Bills versus your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to give you our final injury insight. We're going to drop our keys to a victory. We're going to make some predictions, and we're going to do it all right here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. So until then, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, and thank you for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.